for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct in the devotional today, that we might get something out of it we can use for our own lives. And we'll give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn your Bibles, if you got your Bibles, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at a lady today by the name of Anna. There's not a whole lot said about her in the Bible, but we're going to take a look at what the Bible does say, and we're going to pull a little bit in about her today. And sometimes there's not much said about people in the Bible, but they have a big part of certain things. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38. It says, if I can read it, I don't have my glasses, but oh well. 36. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, given thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Here we see this woman, and we're going to take a look at what she is and what the Bible says, but we don't know a real lot about her. There's only 3 verses in the whole Bible that talks about her, but we're going to look at her for a minute. She was a prophetess. What is a prophetess? What's a prophet? Anybody know what a prophet is? Can you tell me a prophet? How about Elijah, Elisha? How about Daniel? You've got Jeremiah. You've got Ezekiel. Those are all prophets. Okay, there aren't a lot of women who were prophetesses. But here we see that she was a prophetess, and it does not actually mean that she was able to prophesy the future events, but she was able, she might have been married to a prophet, or she might have had some prophets in her family, but she was a devout woman to the work of God, and she knew the law as well as most men did, and she was in a position where she could help many of the women who needed to understand. You know, a prophetess was a woman who taught women mostly about the law and the things of what it was known in the Old Testament. Now, she was of the tribe of Asher. Now, this was one of the 10 tribes which did not come back to Jerusalem after the Babylonian takeover. Asher was, as we recall, one of the 12 sons of Abraham, and is also named in the book of Revelation as one of the tribes of the 144,000 young Jewish men who will be ministering during the tribulation time. But she was of great age. She had been a widow for 84 years. Would have gotten married, if she would have gotten married at the age of 12, like a lot of the women did back then. And she was kept pure for 7 years after she was married. This would put her age at over 100 years old. So she had great age on her. She was over 100 years old. Women did not live any longer than what men did in this time period. However, God allowed her to live a great full life. Now, Anna was a woman who worshiped the true God, and she was not afraid to let people know who she worshiped. You know, she lived and had taught many young women, which was the custom of the day, where the older women would take and teach the younger women how to be good wives and good mothers. You know, we need older women and older men in the church to teach the younger men and women of the church how to do things. You know, we have an awful lot of men in our church that can teach our younger men how to build things, how to fix cars, how to do a lot of things. We've got a lot of older women that can teach our younger women how to cook. And, you know, that way when you get married or are out on your own, at least you don't starve to death. But it matters not how old or what kind of shape that we're in. We need to do what the Bible says. You know, our older men and women in the church have a wealth of knowledge which they need to take and spread on to the youth in the church. But she was a virgin 7 years after she was married. Now, if she was married at 12, that means that she would have been with her husband until she was 19 years old before they would have tried to have any children. You know, our teenagers need to keep themselves pure until the time that they get married. In the day and age that we live in today, it's no longer cool to keep yourself pure. You know, there's an awful lot of girls today that are pregnant by the time they're 12 or 13 years old. You know, we have in our society, our children are trying to raise children, and this is not the way the Bible teaches. Here we see a woman who, even though she was very young when she was married, she stayed pure until the time that both her and her husband wanted to start a family. Now, we need to teach and we need to train our children and our teenagers that it's okay to say no about having sex out of wedlock. You know, it's okay to be different, even if your friends think you are stupid. But I would rather be stupid than and pure than to have some disease that you wouldn't be able to get rid of the rest of your life. But she had been a widow for 84 years. Now, we have no idea how her wife or how her husband died. However, we do know that she had been alone for 84 years. If she would have been with him for even 15 years, that would have put her well over 100 years old at this time period. You know, there's nothing said about her even having any children. We don't know if she had children. We don't know if the children that she would have had, if they were still living or not. We don't know that much about her. However, she was devoted to God. You know, she did not live in the temple, but she was there in the house of God all the time. And she may have had a house close to the temple. She was in the temple all the time. Many felt like she was there every hour of the day and night. But, you know, it's much like people that are around here. You know, you think that they live here, basically. You know, I think there's an awful lot of people who think I live here. But we need to realize is that even though you spend a lot of time here, that doesn't mean that this is your residence. But she fasted and prayed day and night. What does it mean to fast? Who can tell me what it means to fast? Why do people fast? Fasting means to go without food or water. And so what people will do is they will they'll not eat for a certain period of time. There's people that will fast for 1 day or 2 days or 3 days. And they won't eat or drink anything in those 1 to 3 days. And what it does is it causes your stomach to growl because it's hungry. And every time your stomach growls, you pray for what you're fasting about. Well, she prayed and she fasted a lot. And it says that she prayed and fasted night and day. Now, she was a woman that was very serious about her life with God. She knew if God was going to hear her prayer, she needed to inflict hunger pains upon herself. The Bible teaches God hears those who pray and fast. If you want to be heard of God, you need to take and try fasting sometime, and God will take and hear your prayers. You know, we need devoted people in the church who will go to God in prayer and fasting and will try to seek God's face while he may be found. You know, we have many people in our churches who do not know how to pray. You know, even after 2 years with Jesus, the disciples did not know how to pray, and they asked him, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And but she gave thanks for the newborn babies. In the verses that we read, we see that Mary and Joseph had come to the temple to do their obligation with Jesus. He was going to be circumcised at 8 days, and they brought him to the temple. Well, when they got in there, Zechariah grabbed a hold of the baby and held him up and gave praise to God, because even though he had never seen the baby before, even though he didn't know Mary and Joseph, even though he didn't know that it was conceived of the Holy Spirit, God told him that this was the Messiah. And he took the baby and he blessed the baby and he held it up and he gave praise to God. And while he was doing that, Anna walked in and saw it, and she became filled with the Holy Spirit, and she went over and she took the baby and she gave praise to God also. Now, Simeon, not Zechariah, was holding the baby and was blessing him. Anna came in, and that very instant that Simeon had the baby and was praising God and giving thanks to him. But not only did she give thanks, but she went throughout all of the area proclaiming that the Messiah had been born. She went house to house, knocking on doors, and letting people know that the Messiah had been born. You know, there was a parable written about her and her devotion to God, and how she was from the house to house proclaiming Jesus had come into the world. You know, we need people in our churches who are not afraid to go and tell everyone of the free gift of salvation. You know, Christ gave something to all of us that we need to share with all those that we come in contact with. After all, Jesus gave us salvation. He came, was born of a virgin, grew 33 years, was crucified, was buried, rose again the third day according to the scripture. And that salvation all of us can have. And we need to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We need to realize that Anna, even though there's not much written about her in the Bible, she had a very, very important role in proclaiming the birth of Jesus. Now, we don't know how long she lived after this, but we do know that she was used to take and bring in and proclaim that Jesus had been born. And God does things like that. God will take and bring people into different parts of history to help promote the gospel message throughout all of the world. And we just need to be sensitive to God's calling and do what he wants us to, just like Anna did. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for all you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct us as we do our paces today. Help us get everything done. And we'll give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, this coming Sunday is going to be our first Sunday of our fall program. And I talked to Digger Dan yesterday. He's going to be here. And I think Harry the Hobo, he was in Las Cruces yesterday. So he might make it for the following Sunday. He won't make it for this Sunday. But he's heading this way. So he'll probably be here for one of the Sundays. And so you want to be here every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for Sunday school and see these guys, because they're different guys, I'll tell you. They just they do some crazy things sometimes. But all right, we got a lot to get done today. Make sure after you're done, you sanitize your offices and get that all all set up, and we're going to clean out that high school room today a little bit and get everything organized in there a little better. So, all right, you're dismissed. Thanks, Dana.